Good afternoon, everyone. Good to see you. Good to see you here. So, we all like to give and receive gifts, right? I mean, isn't it nice to give a gift to somebody that you've thought about and they get it, they open the package, and you can see it on their face that it's something they wanted and or needed or wanted and needed. It makes you feel great, and or when you receive something like that yourself. I remember two gifts like that my parents gave me years ago. One was a green Big Schwinn bicycle. I think I was probably 8 or 9, and boy, that thing looked gigantic. But it was a great bicycle. And the other one was a very nice musical instrument, a guitar, that my mom and dad gave me. I remember Dad teaching me how to ride that bike, though, out in front of the house. My grandmother and grandfather, Markham, lived on Brayton Street in North Long Beach, not too far from here. And I remember Dad teaching me how to ride that. And it was a little scary at first. You know, that asphalt out in the street was pretty hard. And so there's a little fear involved. And eventually, after I learned to ride, it was like a joy, you know, to ride that bike. Having the freedom, you know, the fear of falling on hard asphalt was eventually overcome by the joy of riding a bicycle. Now, even though the danger of falling was real, if I'd let that fear stop me, if I said, no, I can't do it, I may not have ever learned how to ride a bike. And I know people that really don't know how to ride a bike because they let that fear stop them. I owe a lot of the encouragement to learning how to ride a bike from my dad, so I always appreciate that. The world around us is filled with real fear. I mean, we have a lot, and there's a lot out there, and I'll just name a few. And even though ISIS has been kind of squelched in Syria right now, they're still there. And they want to have a world-ruling government and Sharia law over everyone on earth. And we have these violent protests going on, which I haven't seen that like it is now, except for rioting and things like that. And then we have the continual threat of terrorism. These are real things to be afraid of. And, you know, then there was something in the latest magazine about EMPs, electromagnetic pulse bombs. I've heard other things about it. If three of them were dropped over the U.S., 90% of the people in the U.S. would be dead in about a year. That's something to be kind of afraid about. That list goes on. But we can't let fear stop us from living this life. God doesn't want us to live in fear or bondage to fear. He wants us to be free. So instead, he holds out a beautifully wrapped gift to us. And once opened, it will be the most awesome thing we've ever received. If you want to turn with me to these scriptures, you're welcome to. Matthew 7:11. If you then, being evil, and it doesn't mean you're evil, it just means you're not a totally righteous person. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, like that bike and the guitar, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? I remember asking Mom and Dad for things. And I'm sure you remember asking your mom and dad for things. There usually was quite a bit of effort put into the asking. Begging might be a better description. God wants us to have the very best gifts, but we need to seek and we need to ask. We've got to really want those things that God has to offer. We've got to come to the place of repentance, you know, the willing to truly change our lives and submit ourselves to him, to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and then God will give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7. This is the key scripture that this whole sermon is revolving around. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. So God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. There's plenty to be afraid of, but that's not what God is offering us. So let's discuss the elements, these elements of the scripture. There's actually four: fear, power, love, and a sound mind. Let's find out what Paul was trying to explain to Timothy. My wife Shirley is really kind to me. She every 5 years or so, she lets me buy a new surfboard. So I've got the 55-year model, the 60-year model, the 65-year model, and I'm working on the 70, you know, God willing, the 70-year model. And it also is one of those gifts that keeps on giving. Like tomorrow, I'm planning to go surfing with my son and hopefully my future son-in-law. So that's a nice thing, you know. It's nice to receive and give gifts. Thank you, Shirley. Surfers have a saying, you've heard it before, go for it. It's something you hear from your friends in the water to help you overcome the fear of taking off on a big wave. Or, you know. So, you know, we're in this life. We can't turn back. We are in this way. We can't look back. Jesus said, you know, if you look back, try to go back, you can't do that. So we're in it, and you might as well go for it, okay? So you can't let fear wipe you out. And we aren't alone out there in these rough waters of this world. And we have many, many friends and scriptures and things, the Word of God and each other to cheer us on. So I happened upon this scripture in Hebrews 12:2-3, that it's about a race, but it's kind of like the same as a surf thing. So I'm going to read it from the Message Bible so you can just listen. Do you see what this means? All those pioneers who blazed the way, all those veterans cheering us on. It means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit. No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race that we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way, cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there, in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, the long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. And we need to be pumped up so that we can make it. So no fear. You can do it. Just go for it. And go for it with power. Power to the world is power over others. You know, to tyrannize or have tyranny over other people. Power to get your own way. For fame and recognition, the glory of self. That's the big idol these days, the self. But that's not the kind of power Paul was talking to Timothy about or writing to Timothy about. You know, people talk about winning the lottery as if money is the answer. That they could just, if they just won the lottery, they could finally do whatever they really wanted to do. I don't have to go through this drudgery every day, going to work and whatever. If I could just win the lottery. But you know how that ends up. What do we want to do as God's people? What is the thing that we really want to do? What do we really want to do? What's the most important thing to us? What would really fulfill us? Matthew 5:6. We've all read this. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. That is what we really want. We want to have the righteousness of God, to live that way, to be like Christ, to follow Christ. So isn't being right with God better than winning the lottery and living by every word of God much better than riches? So the power that Paul is talking about is the power to subjugate the self to the will of God and not let our human nature, which God gave us human nature for reasons, but not to let it rule over us, but with the power of the Holy Spirit to rule over ourselves. There's a great scripture in Proverbs 16:32 about this concept. So, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit better than he who takes a city. So this concept, you know, of ruling yourself based on the law of God is completely lost in the world. The world just doesn't get it. And this is our memory scripture from long ago. We've all heard this memory scripture, Romans 8:7. And the reason why it's lost on them is because the carnal mind, the human mind, the carnal mind without God, is enmity or hostile against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. They just can't be because they don't have God in their heart. But being right with God is what motivates us, and through the Spirit, we can have the power to obey and become free from being entangled in sin. Now, after I learned how to ride a bike, it really opened up a lot of freedom for me. You know, freedom is power. Power to go where I wanted to go and ride around the neighborhood or wherever I went. So I, you know, with that in mind, there was a story I heard on the radio one time. A fellow was interviewing a man from the Netherlands who had come here to work. He'd been here for about a year, and he was about ready to go home, and the interviewer said, "Well, I bet your kids are really sad to have to go back to Amsterdam, you know, after being here, the Disneyland and the beach and everything." And he goes, no, they want to get home. They don't like it here. They want to get back to their bikes so they can ride around and be free. Because they, you know, here you can't go anywhere unless mom and dad drive you. So that was kind of interesting. They had the power to do what they wanted to do. Also, here's something to consider about this gift that God has given us. You know, I don't have that green bike anymore. And the reason I don't have it anymore is because I didn't take very good care of it. I think I remember leaving it outside on the front lawn one night and like forgetting to bring it in, and the next day it was gone. Like all gifts, they're ours to take care of or not. If not, they can be lost or become useless, you know, broken or bent out shape. So we have received the best gift in the whole world, in the whole universe. And we need to take good care of it for the rest of our lives, which if we do, will be eternal lives. I mean, that's pretty heavy. So my point is we have to take very good care of this gift. If we don't, things can happen. Like 1 Thessalonians 5:19, where it says, "Do not quench the Spirit," as if it could be quenched and put out. And there's other scriptures about this, but I like this one. Psalm 51:11, the psalm about David's repentance after his sin with Bathsheba. "Do not cast me away," Psalm 51:11. "Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." He was really down about that and very repentant, obviously. And I'm not sure that God will take back the gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't think he'll take it back. But I'm pretty sure that we can lose it if we sin and we don't repent. Now, David was concerned about that, you know, and he was deeply repentant. You know, if a sin that started with adultery and ended with murder. Thankfully, our God is very willing when we repent to forgive us. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In regard to the power that God gives us, most of us don't live life, or we didn't start off, you know, once we were baptized and received the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's like, it isn't like you push a button and it turns on and it's got a constant speed, you know, you're just constantly tuned in. It doesn't work that way. In reality, it's more like a variable speed machine of some kind that goes, you know, like this. Sometimes you're up and really powerful, sometimes you're not. Right? I mean, is everybody always on? David wasn't. I'm not either. You're probably not either. So my guitar that I have is a good example of that. I look at the thing, it's just a beautiful instrument, but I can see scars on it and scratches and little dings from the times that I wasn't really taking care of it. And life is just like that. All of us, King David included, had low power times in life. But we repent and we move on, scars and all. We got to keep moving ahead. I still have the guitar and I'm trying to keep it in good shape, and the scars are a reminder to me. This power is manifested a bit differently in each of us. 1 Corinthians 12:4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So we have this gift, but there's different manifestations of it, you know, with different people. It doesn't mean that any of us are better than anyone else. And just because Marcus and I get to stand up here with suits on, you know, and look, well, we have suits on, okay? It doesn't make us any better than anybody else. Just different. Just different. And in Marcus's case, quite different. And you know what? We're going to miss you. All of us are going to miss you. I won't have anybody to tease anymore. No, just kidding. Anyway. And I'm sure all of us know people here who appear on the outside to be weak but are actually spiritual giants. You know, they don't get to stand up here, but you know who they are. They're people who are really amazing Christians. We should never look at others, you know, thinking our gift is better in some way than theirs and that we're spiritually superior just because of the gift God has given us. So Romans 12:3-5. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. We belong to each other, you know. So, and also in Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. God has given us power through his Holy Spirit to overcome our fears and to rule over our own human nature so that we might live his way and be filled, to say yes to the most important things in life and to reject the evil in this world. And sometimes I, you know, this is kind of off the script here, but sometimes I thought about what great thing can I do, you know, for God? And sometimes I just come back, if I can just live my life in obedience to God, I will have succeeded. I mean, and not have to do some great fancy, you know, like write magazine articles or, you know, just live a good life and be a good person, according to God. So he gives us power. He gives us power to fulfill the following scripture, 2 Corinthians 10:5. So we've got this human nature. We're constantly warring against it in the world around us and our own, you know, and Satan. But he gives us this power, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Here's the second component, love, that is part of the Holy Spirit, power, love, and a sound mind. I grew up around music. My grandmother was a piano teacher, and she'd play, she just lived in Long Beach, and she played on the Queen Mary for weddings. And my mom was an elementary school teacher and played the piano and the auto harp. You know what an auto harp is? And, you know, she'd sing to her classes, and she'd sing to us, and we'd all sing around the piano at different times. We'd gather together as a family. And my dad is 90, okay, and he still plays the sax, and he loves to play the sax. So his only complaint is that his lips don't hold out long enough anymore. He can't play long enough. So he's always been a musician, and, you know, he's played in bands since he was in junior high school. Big band stuff, you know, Benny Goodman, Harry James, Les Brown. He loves it, and when I was a kid, he wanted to share that love of music with me, and I'm so happy that he did. They'd take us to all kinds of, you know, bands. We'd hear bands in the park. He had a friend that was a professor at UCLA, and we'd go hear Greek folk music, different kinds of music. We were exposed to everything. It was really, really great, classical. And of course, Dad thought swing music was the only real music, so he still does to this day. So I know my mom and dad sacrificed, you know, a lot to buy me that guitar. And it really is a nice guitar. It's a blessing. I still have it. I remember the day we got it. We went up, I drove with my dad. We went up to this, it was an apartment. I talked to my dad last night, and I asked him about it. It was somebody's apartment. It was a bunch of boxes in this apartment with all kinds of musical instruments And I was young. I was probably 14 or something like that. And my dad, I could see him negotiating with this guy. And I'm kind of just looking around, you know. After he was done negotiating, I walked out that door with my brand new guitar in a case that I still have to this day. Over 50 years later, I still have the guitar. And I still play it. My parents sacrificed so that I could have a nice musical instrument, sharing their love of music with me. However, the ultimate parental sacrifice was made by God the Father so that he could share himself, his love, with us. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He made the ultimate sacrifice of his son, Jesus, so that we might share his love. 1 John 4:8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. You know, there's love of self, there's brotherly love, there's erotic love or platonic love, but God's love is called, we all know, agape love. It's agape love, and that's the kind of love that is outgoing. It's been defined in the past as outgoing concern for others greater than yourself. That's agape love. And wouldn't you say that that's the way God treats us? You know, it's always gifts coming our way from God. And, you know, we need to learn to love that way too. Even the model prayer, you know, forgive us our sins as we forgive our debtors, our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know, God is teaching us to be forgiving and loving to others. Just in our life, that's what he wants us to be like. It's part of the gift, agape love. He wants us to learn to be like him. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So we can show our love to God by following him and obeying him, trying to become like Jesus. John 14, 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And we not only show our love to God, but to each other. Philippians 2, 2, fulfill my joy and be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. The spiritual oneness and love that we have is a very interesting thing to think about. With the Spirit of God, we become one with God and with each other. It's not a familial or a bond of blood, which can be very powerful. You know, it's a blood feud you had out there with the McCoys. You know, those blood bonds are very powerful. We love our families, and we'll do anything for them, you know, almost. But it's not as strong as the spiritual bond that we have through the Holy Spirit, because that bond is holy and eternal. It's much more powerful. So really, this bond that we have is more powerful than a blood bond. Years ago, I heard a sermon about how we're connected. I don't know if anybody remembers Les McComb, but he was one of our first pastors when we were in the church. And he gave a sermon one time that was really amazing, talking about this concept and, you know, going down at the molecular level, to the atomic level, to the particles. But what holds everything together? And he went on to explain, it's really God's Spirit that holds the whole thing together. God holds the whole universe together. And I believe that. Another one was Randy Scriber, I think it was, gave a sermon down in San Diego or Escondido one time about the human brain. You know, all these brain cells, 1 billion, I don't know how many brain cells we have. In some cases, less than others. So. But the interesting thing is they all communicate, and they all communicate with each other. We have one brain, but all the cells communicate with each other to do stuff. Like right now, my brain is working and communicating. You don't understand what I'm saying? Sorry. Mr. Scriber went on to explain how even though the brain cells don't actually touch, there's a synapse where, you know, there's these things that come off the brain cell. They don't touch, but they communicate through that gap, through chemical or electrical impulses. I don't really understand all that, but the Holy Spirit helps us to be one in kind of that way, and that's what he was getting at. 1 John 3:1-3. And Marcus gave this scripture already. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself, just as he is pure. I mean, to become like Jesus and be able to walk through walls and to heal people and all the awesome things that he can do, and to be holy. So we purify ourselves because he's pure. We're connected to God and to each other in love by the Holy Spirit. God's love is a mystery to the world, at this time, anyway, but priceless to us now. It's what binds us together as one family. And then a sound mind, the third component. So, how many people in here have made a decision based on how you felt about something? You know, I feel a certain way, and you make a decision. We've all done that. So, you know, we know that by, you, not always, but a lot of times when we make decisions based upon how we feel about something, it's going to lead to problems, bad problems, and misery in a lot of cases. Why am I laughing? Well, anyway, it leads to misery. So, but making wise decisions based on the Word of God leads to good results, satisfaction, and happiness. God is the creator of the universe. He knows how things work. He made it. I mean, he knows how we're supposed to work and how to function in the world. So when we make decisions based upon his word, then it leads to good results. It's pretty simple, but it's people don't get that. So God gives us a lot of instructions on how to develop a sound mind. And we're really blessed to have this encouragement. So in Philippians 4:8, you know, we can look at things negatively or positively, but we've been instructed in the Bible to look at things positively. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So we've been instructed to meditate on good stuff. And when you meditate on good things, you can be happy. But if you concentrate on the negative things in life, you're going to be unhappy. It's just pretty simple. There doesn't have to be with us a woe is me attitude. You know, things are terrible. I mean, they may be terrible. you know, sometimes they are. But we need to focus as much as we can upon positive things. And even though sometimes things don't go right, we have this wonderful encouragement. And to have encouragement from people and from God is helps us to have a sound mind. It gives us strength. Romans 8:28, the memory scripture we've all heard. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So that's a sweet scripture, because even though things don't always go right, it doesn't seem like it, it's going to work out for the best. We're instructed to think about the blessings and the good things that God has given us, staying positive and being encouraged in his way. And staying positive takes self-control, which is one of the fruits of God's Spirit. You know, you choose to be happy. You can choose to be happy, and you can choose to be positive. Or you can just let your feelings go and be like we are naturally, which is many ways negative. So we need to discipline ourselves to make the choices that will bring happiness. And these are all the things God's teaching us. So ask God to help you break bad habits and develop good ones. Having a sound mind comes from having a grateful heart, looking for the good, and making wise decisions. We do these things if we love God and put him first in our lives. And this is a super key scripture, Proverbs 9:10. It's really the basis of our belief in this way. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We have to, that's the pivotal, starts there, to love God. This world is passing away, and it's true, there really are monsters out there in the world, but we don't need to fear them. fear the eternal God and put your life in his care. Jesus knew, and he tells us in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you will have peace." In me you will have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. As parents, we sacrifice to give our children guitars and bikes and braces and lessons, and we do it because we love them. It's the same with God. He gives us his Spirit because he loves us and wants the very best for us. With the gift of God's Holy Spirit, we no longer need to be paralyzed by the fears of this sinful world, but instead we've been given the power to overcome it and ourselves, to have outgoing love and concern for others, and to have a sound mind. Making our choices based not on our own feelings, but by following the example of our Lord and our brother, Jesus, our Christ, to become Christ-like. Let's take very good care of this precious and amazing gift that we've been given, God's Holy Spirit.